When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Three Bonus Points podcast with George Osborne and Ryan Keane.
Hello and welcome to the Three Bonus Points podcast, a fantasy football podcast all about the Premier League. The first international break of the season is underway, the transfer window has closed, and it's now time for the real move to be made in FPL. I'm Ryan Keane and here's George Osborne. Hello, George.
Hello, everyone.
I've just realised I've put an E on the end of your surname in the script. I will just remove that now.
You will just remove that. That's good to hear. How was game week three for you, Ryan? It's been a while since we caught up.
Yeah, it was good. 44 points, which I'm happy with. One above the average. Not a particularly great week, I think, all round. So I'm not too bad, not too disheartened by that. And I left a lot of points on my bench. Charlie Daniels was on my bench because I thought City would rack up a cricket score. Matt Ryan was on my bench because I didn't think Brighton would score. And Alexander Mitrovic was on my bench because I genuinely didn't think he'd get any minutes. So, leaving, I think there would have been a bonus there of about 15 points for them, for the poor performers in the rest of the squad. But other than that, quite happy.
Well, I managed to take a 4-point hit to remove about 20 points from my fantasy side. I made a series of moves that were, I think, broadly logical. Ben Foster for Fraser Forster, Mo Salah out for 1 week for Christian Eriksen to get him into my side because Spurs have a good run of fixtures coming up, and then Ben Davis for Kyle Walker. What happened was obviously Forster got 11 points, Salah got something similar, Davis was on course for a clean sheet, and then Chris Wood ruined that, and then I managed to have the Lukaku captaincy, which obviously resulted in nul point. And I still ended the week on 44, which ultimately I'm relatively pleased with, but considering the average was only 43, and I always say that as long as you're scoring above the average over the course of the season, you tend to do pretty well. But I am a little bit frustrated on that front, and looking forward to game week four to try and correct things.
Yeah, it's we've got a lot to cover, I think, ahead of game week four, just for the reasons I mentioned. There's been international trips, there's been last minute transfers, and there are some cracking upcoming matches this weekend. So we're going to start with new arrivals and we'll move on to the others as we go. So with the transfer window shutting, there's been some new players that have arrived into the league between game week three and now game week four. And we just wanted to talk about any that you might be thinking about dropping directly into your team. And there's no better place to start than Tottenham and Serge Aurier, who has come in and looks like a first-choice signing. Looks like he's going to be the starting right-back, I guess, in that side.
Yes, Serge Aurier. He does look like a first-choice pick, I think. It's going to be a little bit tricky to know exactly what's going to happen this game week because it kind of feels like the season's restarting or rebooting a little bit. It's a bit like that later transfer window plus an international break means that it's going to be a little bit tricky to see exactly who's going to be doing what. But he very much does look like he's going to be the kind of player who's going to be leading the, who's going to essentially be leading out from that right back slot, which means I think you need to be weighing up whether or not you want to bring him into the team. Again, 6 million price tag is another one of those relatively expensive defenders. Spurs' defensive record last season was obviously very good, but this season, you know, they're still suffering a little bit from that Wembley curse. So it's tricky to know exactly what to make of him. And it's also tricky, obviously, to know how much to make or break in terms of Aurier, simply because of the fact that he was at PSG. And in terms of, obviously, the French league, Paris Saint-Germain are very much either the dominant side or one of the dominant sides in that division. So I think he's got potential as a longer-term selection. But I do wonder how he will be phased in. And also, you know, he's got apparently got a little bit of a behavioural streak, a little bit of bad behaviour to him. So you never know what kind of impact that could have in terms of things like disciplinary record over the season.
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting one, because Trippier pulled out of the England squad, or certainly wasn't at all the England training, because of a niggle. And I just wonder if that might give Aurier a debut before it would have been ideal. Rather than phasing him into side, he might actually get chucked in it this weekend. But I think, Trippier is 5.4 at the moment, Aurier is 6. I think it's probably a look elsewhere, and then maybe come back to them in a few weeks if it's obvious who the first choice is, if it's going to be Davis and Aurier or Davis and Trippier on the wing.
Exactly. And that piece of advice, I mean, I'll be honest, we've got a list of players, and I think that's broadly going to be our piece of advice there for everyone. But we'll continue going through them anyway, because there's some interesting choices.
I don't want us to be necessarily conservative, but is it a similar case for David Zappacosta, who's joined Chelsea?
I think it's
and is a right wing
I think
back.
It's pretty much exactly the same. I mean, it's very difficult because he's obviously going to be providing competition for Moses there. The advantage that he has over Victor Moses for fantasy managers, if he does start, is that he's 6 million versus 6.5, I believe, so there is that saving there. It's just really going to be the question of whether he starts. I think when he was at Torino last season, he was part of the same defence as Joe Hart, and I think they only got 5 clean sheets in the league, which, you know, that's pretty average. In fact, that's actually pretty poor. But I think what's interesting in terms of Zappacosta is he racked up 5 assists and he also got a goal. And I think it's also worth remembering that last season people were pretty lukewarm, I think, on the prospects of Marcos Alonso when he came over to Chelsea. He was seen as, I think, a sort of a player who was signed, you know, a little bit sort of arguably a little bit desperately, sort of relatively just to bulk that squad out. And he ended up becoming one of their key performers. So what I'd say about Zappacosta, again, see what happens, but also remember that we're now entering the point in the season, and I think we'll come back to this, where Champions League restarts, and as a result of that, the bigger teams will start rotating more, so there are going to be more opportunities for these kinds of players to play in the Premier League, when obviously the very biggest sides may well be going, let's try and field a slightly weakened team in the league fixture and then put out what we can consider our best side in terms of the Champions League.
And kind of moving on to a player that I think actually is worth the punt, if you've got an extra free transfer, if you're not sure what to do in midfield, Renato Sanchez, 5 million, Swansea. That seems like...
He's a really interesting player. I think he's... I think he's probably ended up being the most interesting transfer in the window for amongst the Premier League sides. In case you don't know that much about him, he's 20. He's a former... I think he started his career either as a winger or a striker, and he's converted to a central midfielder. And he was part of a particularly good Benfica side a couple of years ago. He's quick. He's good on the ball. He's also actually a very good dribbler for a central midfielder. And I think for Swansea, he's almost certainly going to be playing in a box-to-box role. So I think there really is a prospect there for him to do well. The question is going to be, what kind of position is he going to play now? Is he going to play... I think so far this season, Swansea have essentially been playing with 2 strikers, and they've been having one person who's been sort of behind them. That was obviously where I think previously someone like Sigurdsson would have been, and it's somewhere where Tom Carroll, I think, has been. Will Sanchez be operating in that position? Potentially. If he is, I think that's really going to offer a great opportunity. If he's not, and he's a little bit deeper, he hasn't actually scored that many goals in his league career so far. So there could be that question there. But like you say, I mean, his price tag is very tempting. And the fact that his ownership, I think he's already got a couple of percentage points worth of ownership, which for someone who's got, you know, no Premier League track record, he's a cheap option. I think it's a sign that people are looking towards him already. But as an alternative to Swansea as well, maybe think about Wilfred Bonny. He's back at the club, 6 million. He's looking like he's going to be probably slotting straight into that side. And I think he's gotten into double figures, I think, every season that he played at Swansea. So that is worth considering.
Bonny is one of quite a few players that have returned to teams, I think, in the last few days. We've seen Bonny, Zlatan, obviously back to Manchester United, but not fully fit, and Mamadou Sakho at Crystal Palace, who was key for them in their good run last season.
Definitely.
Is he enough, do you think, there to help turn around Frankie?
I think we're going to be talking a little bit about Palace later, but I essentially no. I'm not feeling at all confident about Palace's prospects at this moment in time.
To give you a kind of blank canvas for the other new signings, thinking around Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Danny Drinkwater, even Fernando Llorente to Spurs, is there anything that caught your eye that you think is worth a little dabble or worth considering?
I mean, I felt that all of those moves were, I mean, for fantasy managers, I don't think any of them were particularly useful, if I'm being broadly honest. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, I'm not sure he's going to be first choice in that Liverpool side, especially that Coutinho has now obviously ended up staying there. So he's got a lot of competition for those central midfield slots. He's got a lot of competition out wide. He may well be rotated into the side. And if he performs, you know, he may well retain his position. He's pretty cheap. I think he was 6 million, I think, the last time I checked. So I think he could be tempting if he gets involved early. But there's not really a huge guarantee of that. And I think he's only scored 9 times in his entire Premier League career. So there is a question mark there. Drinkwater, similar thing, 4.9 million for a fantasy manager, which I think seems quite tempting. But you look at the number of times he scored, it was only 4 in his last 3 FPL seasons. So again, not particularly interesting on that front. And Llorente, I mean, obviously he was much more of an option last season at Swansea. He was scoring consistently. That combination of Sigurdsson and Llorente proved pretty fruitful, and I think he will play in the Premier League. I think it's just a question of how often, and will he actually be starting alongside someone like Kane, or is he much more likely to be coming off the bench? Considering Spurs have just shipped Janssen out on loan to Fenerbahce, I think it's probably more likely to be the latter, which means his value to fantasy managers, that's Fernando Llorente's, is a little bit lessened.
I think Fernando, if it was a draft league, I think Fernando Llorente is a good kind of backup third striker to have, because he will score 5 or 6 consolation goals. Not consolation goals, but lead-on goals, either goals to rubber stamp a 3-0 win or goals that might make draws and what have you. And if Harry Kane gets injured, he will obviously be starting. But yeah, if you're looking consistent performers, then all three of them, as you've said, are not worth it. And about the non-movers, so there was two obviously high-profile non-movers at the end of the window, Alexis Sanchez and Philippe Coutinho. I would think I'd want to leave them alone for now. And we know Coutinho's not going to be in the squad for the Man City game on Saturday. Just leave them alone until they've kind of, maybe even, I'm trying to think of, sacrifice an early good week, a week where they score and assist, just to make sure that they're actually back into consistent performances.
Yeah, I think exactly that. I mean, I think just before we've gone on air, I believe I've seen a tweet from a relatively reputable source that says Coutinho is not in the squad for Liverpool this weekend. I think that's partly due to the fact that he was traveling. He's traveled back from South America. He's only played, I think, about 45 minutes on international duty in about the past month. So I think that's probably the case there. But it's a perfect illustration of exactly what you're saying. And while Sanchez, I think, is more likely to go back into the first team against Bournemouth, again, international travel and just general disruption, I think that's going to set. I'm going to be exactly with you. Don't jump in just yet.
And speaking of international,
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
International travel, it has been a busy week of international football with World Cup qualifiers taking place. It's not been a normal international week where teams go off for nice, relaxing friendlies and do all your work. So there's been players often on quite long journeys. Aaron Moy was off playing for Australia. Love the South American players were actually playing Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, UK time, and so will have been travelling back in the last 48 hours. What effect has that had previously on players? Like, should we expect a lot from, especially Aaron Moy? He's not going to be at his complete best, or is it still early in the season that it might be fresh?
I think it is a problem. I can remember last season, I think it was about November, that you were talking about the South American late night midweek game. They chartered a load of Premier League clubs and European clubs chartered a jet to bring back their players to Europe as quickly as possible, which they've done again this week. But despite that, I can remember that I believe it was Liverpool going away to Southampton, drawing 0-0. That was when Firmino, Coutinho, I think, were both sort of really popular midfield picks last season. And obviously they both blanked. So I think I would be expecting, a lot of those kinds of players to either not perform or to be rested. I mean, I think it's really important, you know, to remember the Champions League comes back next week. City, for example, have an absolute glut of South American players who they're probably going to be looking towards. It's a difficult one because obviously the Liverpool match is an enormous game, but they're also going to be looking to the start of their Champions League campaign and wondering about what the best way to negotiate that is, especially with a relatively thin squad. And like you were saying, with someone like Aaron Moy, there's actually quite a few low-cost fantasy football picks who you might have been considering who are going to be affected by long-distance travel. You know, Shinji Okazaki, Chris Wood, and Moy, as you mentioned, all of them looked to be sort of potential options sort of entering our sort of fantasy football radar. But they have, each of them, travelled tens of thousands of miles individually. And I think Chris Wood has brought up the overall Burnley miles travelled average quite significantly by himself in terms of the top league. The Times did a really good breakdown today. So this is Friday. If you do have a chance to go out and buy a copy, that's a really good way of looking at how far people have travelled. But at the same time, there have been some players who travelled a much shorter distance or not travelled much at all who look to be coming into form. Christian Eriksen, you know, he's had a reasonable start to the season so far. I believe it was 3 assists in the goal against Poland midweek for Denmark, which is a ludicrous return. And I think at the current moment in time, he's got the most assists in the calendar year of any player in Europe's top flights. So that's something that's well worth considering. And then there's Marcus Rashford as well, you know, 7.5 million. He has been rotated out in Manchester United's last fixture, but considering the fact that he's racked up a couple of assists and got a goal in his last two appearances for England, there could be an opportunity for a start this weekend, especially with the fact that Manchester United are obviously starting their Champions League campaign as well.
I know I hadn't mentioned talking about it, but let's take this opportunity to talk about Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes.
Belgium won 9-0 last week, and De Bruyne was involved in none of the goals. No goals, no assists.
Yes.
What is wrong with him?
What's wrong with him? I'm not entirely sure about what's wrong with him at international level. At club level, I think it's the fact that his role has slightly changed. So he's playing alongside David Silva in central midfield, but whereas Silva is essentially being released to go make runs into the box, you know, as well as obviously sort of, you know, knitting the play together, he's also being encouraged to get further forwards. I was watching the Bournemouth match, and De Bruyne very much looks as if he's being told to sit a little bit deeper to offer a passing option outside the penalty area, which means, you know, he may well have the opportunity for the occasional goal from long shots, and he might well be able to sort of thread through the occasional through ball for an assist, but he's not looking like he's the sort of dynamic option going forwards. Like, it's not as if he is the person who's going to be, you know, making everything happen, which might have been okay if he was valued at sort of 6-7 million, but at 9.9, I think it's really sort of, I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to be having the same influence in at least the short term that he had last season.
And you've picked him to come out of your side.
I did
week,
indeed.
On the Set Pieces website. Yes. So anybody that wants to read some of our tips for Game Week 4, you can find those on the Set Pieces website. We've both picked a player to include and a player to drop out. Who was it that you've recommended people to include?
I've recommended people to include Phil Jones. Biggest reason is that he is one of the few defenders who is playing consistently for the top clubs in the country who is under the 6 million price tag. I think currently he's at 5.1 million. He's managed to get himself 3 clean sheets and a bonus point this season. And I believe he even hit the post against Swansea from a corner. So he's looking like he's going to be a potentially solid long-term central defensive pick, especially while Victor Lindelof is still adapting to the league. So I think if you are looking for someone who's got good clean sheet potential, I think he's your man.
I have taken said advice and swapped out Kane Trippier for Phil Jones. ahead of the
Let's
weekend.
Hope it goes well.
Well, it gives me some money in the bank as well for next week to possibly play around with, but we'll see how we go. Looking ahead to game week 4, is there anything else that you're looking forward to, any favourable
matches? Well, to be totally honest, I think this looks like a difficult game week. I don't think there don't seem to be any fixtures that you're looking at them and going, that is an absolute banker. In fact, I'd say that there are very few fixtures like that at all this weekend. I mean, some good examples: Manchester United away at Stoke. I think at the start of the season, everyone would have been looking at that and saying that looks like a sort of a fairly comfortable win for Manchester United. But Stoke have actually had quite a good start to the season. It doesn't look as if they're going to be conceding particularly many goals this time round. And so someone like Romelu Lukaku, who, despite the fact that he got off to a good start to the season, he obviously missed a penalty last time out, and his away record at Everton last week, it was only last year, he only scored 9 of 25 goals away from home, I think, in the league. So that could be quite a tough matchup. You're obviously looking at the fact that it's Manchester City Liverpool, which I believe there's going to be goals in that, but what way they're going to be distributed, who's going to be scoring them, and how many, you know, very much up in the air. You've even got fixtures like Leicester-Chelsea, which again, tricky to call. I mean, Morata, who's been in good form so far this season, I think he's gotten a goal and assist in 2 of his last 3 for Chelsea. He could well be tempting, but equally, I think it could be a good opportunity for Vardy, who scored twice in the opening day of the season, and I think generally has looked pretty dangerous. So yeah, I'm not seeing a huge amount of value this week. I'm looking at this week a little bit with the feeling of, let's just get through it and then see where we are in the following week, really.
Hazard's back, though.
Hazard's back, which is good news for some, because, I mean, obviously, you know, he performed brilliantly last season. 10.5 million, though, makes him quite expensive. And for a lot of people who have opted for Willian in their side, currently 7.1 million, that could pose a bit of a problem for them. And I mean, in terms of someone else who's coming back, you mentioned earlier Mamadou Sakho, and whether or not I think Crystal Palace could be someone worth looking at. But their fixtures aren't actually, or they haven't been as bad as they should have been on paper. I mean, they looked like on paper that they were going to be relatively straightforward. And so far this season, it's conceded 8, scored none. Wilfried Zaha is not back. Their style looks to be... Well, it just looks as if the new style that De Boer's bringing in isn't working, and it isn't fitting in with the rest of the side, so I find it very hard to tip. I think about the only thing that I could be suggesting looks like a relatively nailed-on opportunity is potentially West Brom keeping a clean sheet away at Brighton.
Yes, that's nailed on.
That's nailed on. But even then, against Watford last time out, Anthony Knockhart looked like he was going to be pretty dangerous. He managed to hit the post, and he drew the challenge that led to Miguel Britos getting sent off. And I think with West Brom, they have signed Kieran Gibbs to fill that left-back position where Chris Brunt has been playing, but I don't think it's necessarily... Well, you know, I feel like West Brom probably should keep a clean sheet there, but even then, it's a bit, like, sketchy.
No, I think West Brom restricting Brighton is exactly what's going to happen. I don't think there's not enough Premier League nous in that Brighton side to find a way past Tiago Pulis at the moment. I'm not having it. I think, and just to touch on Hazard, Chelsea's fixtures between now and the next transfer window are pretty dreadful, along with the Champions League being back. They've got Leicester this weekend, Arsenal at home, Man City at home, and Stoke away. That's not the kind of 4-week run where Hazard racks up 20 points. I think you'd be better off leaving him alone and maybe having a reshuffle come the next transfer window and then bringing him in when the fixtures get slightly easier for Chelsea, which is kind of about it. I'm trying to now think, Lukaku staying as your captain or are we going elsewhere? I know you said his away record.
I'm looking elsewhere, but I don't know where at this current moment in time. I mean, I'm looking through my squad and thinking potentially towards Salah, who's obviously looked very dangerous this season and who burnt me very much last week. Because I feel as if a Liverpool attacker or someone like Gabriel Jesus at Manchester City, I think a reasonable chance of getting a return. Morata for Chelsea away at Leicester, I think that again is another good chance for a return. Arsenal at home against Bournemouth, there should be a good opportunity there, but Lacazette for some reason, Arsene Wenger spent an incredibly large sum of money on Lacazette to essentially drop into the bench. So I'm not really sure what's going on there. But Danny Welbeck has started every game this season, if you are looking for that. And then I think if you're looking for some more interesting captain picks, Sam Vokes, I think for Burnley.
At home to Palace.
Yeah. That's potentially a good option there, especially because Chris Wood is obviously coming back from a hefty international stint. And then, honestly, you know, like, this feels like just sort of blind faith more than anything, but Chicharito for West Ham in their fixture on I believe it's on Monday against Huddersfield. You know, Huddersfield have actually had a good start to the season, but I think it's West Ham's first home game, and yeah, you just don't know. You just don't know, but he managed to score two nicely taken goals against Southampton, and I think if he gets any kind of service, then he has got a chance of getting on the score sheet.
I think given the summer that West Ham have had, that's going to be a weird atmosphere. They were excited about their signings come the start of the season, but with the kerfuffle that has followed around William Carvalho and... It's going to be weird. I think it's going to be a weird atmosphere. It's going to be a difficult one to judge how West Ham will react and therefore how Huddersfield will be able to play. But should be exciting. I think that kind of covers us off.
It does indeed.
Good. Yeah, I'm just making sure we've touched on everybody, gave everybody a little bit of a mention. I think the only game we haven't actually talked about is Southampton against Watford.
Yes. Hopefully Gabbiadini. I've been keeping faith with him because Southampton's fixtures remain pretty good. But if not, Stevens at the back so far has given me two clean sheets. So worth checking out there.
Yeah. I don't think there's a massive amount in Watford yet. I'm not sure they know who they are as a team. Before we go, just wanted to give you a quick reminder of our competition. Over the first 7 game weeks of the season, we are giving away 3 books. It was provided to us by Ockley Books, a Yorkshire-based sports book publisher. If you're not in the league by now, I really don't fancy your chances of toppling the top 3 performers, but by all means, give it a go, get involved, and we'll hopefully have more competitions throughout the rest of the season. Quick shout out to Kevin Abraham, Matt Vale and Theo Mensah, who currently lead the way in the top 3 spots. Obviously get yourself signed up, get following us on Twitter to stay in touch on any of our tips or anything that we notice. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, all with username 3bonuspoints. And if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email us show@3bonuspointspodcast.com with any questions, queries or suggestions. Until next week in game week 5, good luck.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.